tongues is used in two different ways. And I've learned that two things that intrigue people is tongues and prophecy. Tongues and prophecy. If you want to have a prophecy conference, you can pack them out. Because people are intrigued by mystery. And they want to hear what you've got to say about something they don't know about that's coming. Fearful, good or bad or indifferent, people are curious. And they'll come to listen about prophecy. And many churches, sometimes I'm afraid, have a tongue conference too. Because guess what tongues are? A mystery too. They too are a mystery, just like prophecy. And so many people get confused in the New Testament about receiving the Holy Ghost and call the tongues when they receive the Holy Ghost and they spake with tongues and say that that is a gift of the Spirit. That is not a gift of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost was the gift and the tongues followed. Then Paul talks to a church who's already received the Holy Ghost about the gifts of the Spirit. So that a person that speaks in tongues when they receive the Holy Ghost does not mean they have the gift of tongues. And tongues was not a gift in the book of Acts. It was a gift in the book of Corinthians. As Paul talked to Holy Ghost-filled people. So the Holy Ghost was the gift in the book of Acts, and the tongues was the gift in the book of Corinthians. And so later, Paul writes letters to the church or the churches concerning these gifts and the Spirit and the use of tongues and the use of the Holy Ghost. And I've heard many times that people say they got the Holy Ghost, but God didn't give me the gift of tongues. That's because you don't understand. These signs shall follow them that believe. You see, there is things that follow people that believe and people that receive. They're sorely mistaken. The gift of the Holy Ghost and the sign of tongues are two different things. And the book of Corinth is a composite of letters that Paul writes to Holy Ghost-filled people in an effort to help them learn how to conduct their church services. These letters, he reestablishes the fact that there is a fallacy and a fact that goes along with tongues. Yes, a fallacy and a fact that goes along with speaking in tongues. Many times people gloat over the gifts because they edify who? You see? That's the problem. People love edification. They love to be exalted. They love to be used. They love for people to look at me. And he's fighting that in this church. These are brand new people, and he's already fighting these spirits of people abusing the gift of God. Anytime you abuse something is when you use it for what it was not designed to be used for. You can take a screwdriver, and if you want to drive a nail in with it, you can. But it'll mess the screwdriver up. Trust me. I know. So you must remember, as I read these scriptures, that tongues is a big, big, big part of the early church as they try to orchestrate their services. And remember that the pastors that are teaching them are just as young in the Lord as the saints sitting on the pew. They're all brand new. They don't have a guide. They don't have a book. They don't have anything but an Old Testament. They don't have Paul's writings that we have to study and all. Paul is trying to write them a quick letter and he's writing them out of jail cells and all because what is this I hear that you're doing this and you're doing what? Why are y'all doing this? Why is there so much fornication going on? Why are y'all doing it? You're abusing the gifts of God. And he's trying to correct the churches almost as soon as they started. We're still trying to do that. And we've been here 2,000 years. And so these pastors are just as young as the saints, and they need direction like never before because the church is coming under tremendous pressure from the outside forces, and they don't know how to operate a church, and they don't know how to operate a service. They don't know anything about it. And so he writes this, if you'll bear with me, 1 Corinthians 13 and 1. He said, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity. He's telling them, because they're all tongue talkers. He said, that's great, you can speak in tongues. But though you do that, that's not where it's at. He said, it's if you don't have charity, all these tongues becomes a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. It is useless. It is worthless. You are now dividing the church with the very tongue God gave you. He's telling them that it's not enough to just speak in tongues. And many times people, I've seen it so many times in these 46 years, that people think if they can speak in tongues, I'm all clear with God. That's a fallacy. It is a huge fallacy. I have seen people, if that is so, then adulterers can go to heaven. Because I've seen many adulterers and people that I know are in sin that could speak fluently in tongues. What's the deal with that? It is a fallacy to believe. It is abuse to believe that because I can speak in tongues, I'm clear with God. And I'm going to show you this. He said, and though I have the gift of prophecy, see why, and understand all mysteries, all knowledge, though I have all faith, move mountains, and I don't have the love of God, which is the most important, it's nothing. And the two most, again, fascinating things is tongues and prophecy. And people flock to hear prophecy, but let me tell you that what you need to hear more than prophecy is prophesy. Not prophecy, prophesy. Prophecy is when you generally can, is mostly known when you can foretell the future. You know, I don't know many people that can do that. I don't claim to have that gift. But prophesy is simply an anointed word from God. It has nothing to do with the future, although it may, but it is simply relating to you. I hope that every time I preach to you, I'm prophesying. I'm preaching to you an anointed word that God has given me that if you swallow it and take it and use it, it will accomplish because the word of God will not return void. But if you don't receive it, it is void before you got it. And so he's trying to correct them here. He said, follow after charity. Don't follow after these gifts. Don't worry about that. They'll take care of themselves. Desire these spiritual gifts, but rather that you prophesy. Prophesy. For he that speaketh, verse 2, in an unknown tongue. This is 14, chapter 14 and 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. Though I speak in tongues of men and of angels, meaning and language. For though I speak in an unknown tongue, I speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Okay. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. See, people like mysteries. God understands this language. And when you pray, if you pray, you can pray in tongues till your tongue falls out if you want to. That's you and God talking together and communicating. God understands that spirit. But for me, you sing me a song in tongues, I think you're crazy. Because it doesn't do anything for me. Nothing. It shows me you. Is what it shows me. And that's what he's going to tell us here. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men, to edification, to exhortation, and to comfort. See, this is the tongues of men. So that when you prophesy, this is the tongues of men. And when a man speaks for God, he speaks words of edification, exhortation, or comfort. One of these three things to who? The church. To the church. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue at church edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. That's why we go to church, to edify the church, not to edify me. We have to be careful. It can be in a song. It can be even as a preacher. I have to be careful. I don't ever want to edify myself. We must edify the church. And so Paul is not saying that speaking in tongues is wrong. He is telling us not to abuse it. It needs to be profitable when it is used in a church. Because he says in the next verse, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. So if there's tongues and there's no interpretation, he's going to tell you to go on with your service because there's nothing to be said here. Now remember, they don't have this. So as God spoke through prophets in the Old Testament, his word came to them and they said, and the word of the Lord came unto me and said. Okay? In this New Testament church that's just starting, they don't have quote-unquote preachers that have hours to study and been in the church for 46 years. And, you know, they didn't have that. Been in the church 46 minutes. And I'm trying to run a church because, I mean, they just got the Holy Ghost. So they need to hear from God because there is no written word of God to go with in the New Testament except a few little letters that they get in from Paul, who's trying to help them. So if there's no meaning to this, he said, go on. But they had a great meaning in the early church when there was tongues and interpretation because it gave them direction they did not have. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, now he's just talking about a church, I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Here's the most renowned guy that's wrote so many books in the Bible that we're still trying to figure out what he wrote because it was so comprehensive. He said, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what good is that? What do I profit you? Except I speak to you either by, now watch, one of these four things. If I speak to you rather than tongues, but I speak to you by revelation, by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine. Those are the four things that a church should have. Those four things operate in the church, which will accomplish everything that all the tongues and interpretation could ever do. Because this is what builds a church and edifies a church, are these four things. So he's saying, I'd rather speak to you with words you can understand that profit you than a bunch of words that you don't understand. And verse 7, and even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? You see, there is a difference between reveille and taps. It's the same trumpet, but one of them wakes you up and the other one says he's never going to wake up. But if I don't know the difference, then I don't know if I'm supposed to wake up or not. I know it's a trumpet. I know they got the Holy Ghost. But if you don't tell me what this means, I don't know what you're saying. Therefore, Paul is telling us that if tongues is used and administered properly in the church, it is a wonderful thing. But if not, it brings on confusion. Confusion in a church rather than help. So likewise, verse 9, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Amen. You just speak into the air. And even in preaching, some preachers get so eloquent you need a dictionary. If you preach over my head, you might as well speak in tongues too. You have to speak on a level that people can understand and apply the word of God. Verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices or tongues in the world, and none of them without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. It's like the guy from China and the guy, me, from America, and he could say something as simple as pick up your Bible. What? What? It doesn't matter how simple it is. And if you don't speak in a tongue I can understand, I don't know, I can't do what you say. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts. I've seen some people so zealous to use those gifts, they abused them. Seek that ye may excel, not in these gifts, but in edifying the church. That's where you need to excel. Paul talked in another place about being overzealous, overcharged to good works. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he might interpret. So when you speak in tongues, you go, God, help me to know what I just said. Tell to me what I just said, because I don't even know what I just said. So watch this closely. Verse 14. Is this okay tonight? I'm almost through. Verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. I've prayed in tongues 30 minutes, 40 minutes. I don't know. You get lost. I didn't understand a thing I said. But my spirit was praying. Something was going on. Now, I didn't understand what I was saying, but God understands what was coming out of me, because it was him in me talking to him up there. It was the God in me talking to the God that lives up there, and he's in me, and they were communicating through me. I didn't understand a word, but it sure felt good. It felt cleansing. It felt right at the right place, because it is your spirit praying. But Paul, let me read this again. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. So what we need to do is at some point in time, it's not in a church, he's saying, if you pray in tongues in a church, nobody gets nothing out of it. Nobody. Unless there is some reason to interpret it. We need things to be fruitful in a church. So he said, what then? What then? Okay, so if my spirit prayeth and my understanding is unfruitful, what then? He said, okay, here's what he says. I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. Mm-hmm. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. What he's telling us is that we can do this without all this tongue stuff. He's telling us you don't need to sing in tongues and everybody not understand what you're saying. You can sing in the spirit and everybody understand what you say. And it's both fruitful and everybody understands it. Are you understanding what I'm trying to teach you? So that he says when you pray, it's better that you pray both with understanding and in the spirit versus praying in a tongue that it's not fruitful. Put them together so that you can pray. I can preach in the spirit. If I preached in tongues, it's unfruitful. I could have said the same thing and not know it. But if I preach in the spirit and I preach with you can understand it, both things are accomplished. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen? How can he say, let it be so, when I don't even understand you? And at thy giving thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest. You can't get any amens if people don't understand what you said. Amen. So we need to keep this in mind as we read a little further. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other people is not edified. I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, and that by my voice, my natural tongues of men, I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in this unknown tongue. Brethren, be not little children, understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be ye men. See, and we're going to read it in just a minute. They're almost fighting over who's going to speak in tongues. They're almost fighting over who's going to get to interpret this. And so the very thing that brought them together is now dividing them. He said, in the law, it is written, this was from Isaiah, with other lips or with other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet, for all they would not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe. Now, this is going to really mess you up. Not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. So tongues was used on the day of Pentecost in Cornelius' house. Guess what? For believing unbelievers. Because he says here, tongues is for a sign, not to them that believe, but for them that do not believe. Peter believed. But he didn't believe them. So these Jews were believing, but they were unbelieving that they had received the Holy Ghost. I hope I'm not confusing you, because this is very confusing if you don't iron this out. If therefore the whole church come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those unlearned and unbelievers. It just said that it's a sign to unbelievers. Isn't that what I just read? But then he says the unbelievers come in, unlearned unbelievers. They will say, you're mad. It seems to be a contradiction. Do you see that? He said it's a sign for unbelievers. Then unbelievers come in your church and you go, they're going to say, hey, y'all are nuts. What he's talking here is there is believing unbelievers. That goes back to what I'm saying. When you receive the Holy Ghost, then there is a tongue that comes forth when you receive the Holy Ghost that convinces all the others that don't believe you got it. Because the Jews and Peter said, now we heard you get the Holy Ghost. Now I believe you too. They were believing unbelievers. But if an unbeliever comes in that don't know anything about this, they're going to say you're nuts. Coming to church, and all I did, somebody come and sit in the back, and I just start speaking in tongues. They're walking out the back door. Everybody speaking in tongues, they're walking out the back door. They don't understand it because they do not relate to that. They're not going to say, oh, God's in y'all. I can tell because y'all speak in tongues. No, they're going to say you're mad. You're nuts. So we see a different kind of unbeliever here. Verse 24. But if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not or one unlearned, he is convinced of all. He is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. He confesses his sins. He opens up. And so falling down on his face, he worshiped God, not you, God, and report that God is in you of a truth. See, when you speak words that are easily understood and you speak words that brings on conviction, then they understand I'm a sinner, I need God. But speaking in tongues brings no one to conviction. No one repents because they heard you speak in tongues. No one. So how is it, brethren? Now see, here's what he brings it together. He said, because they got a new church and everybody wants to exercise their talent. How is it, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you have a psalm. Every one of you hath a doctrine. Every one of you wants to speak in tongues. Everybody's got a revelation. Everybody's got an interpretation. Everybody's got a testimony. Everybody's got something to say. He said, we can't do that. It causes confusion. So he said, let all things be done to the edifying of the church. All things be done edifying the church. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. So, for example, someone speaks in tongues, and you feel like maybe the Lord has something to say. Well, you get quiet and let them speak in tongues. And then if nothing comes out and someone else speaks in tongues, let them speak in tongues. But don't y'all do it, try to compete with each other over this. And so he speaks in tongues, and then maybe the Lord don't have anything to say, or someone's not yielding to the forthcoming of the prophecy, prophesying. Then Paul says, go on with your service. Go on with your service. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the others judge. Now, we always talk, don't judge one another. Let me tell you something about judging real quick. We all judge, and it's biblical. What you can't judge is whether I'm saved or lost. You don't know. You don't know. But I can judge a fruit. I can judge an orange and an apple real easy with my eyes closed. Give me a bite. Let me feel it. I can tell you. So there is a, even he said when some prophesy, and this goes on in church, I have to make judgment calls. Number one, is that for me? Is that for me? I have to judge. Is this for me? I also look at the person who's doing it. I'm sorry. You may not, but I do. If your life don't back up what you're trying to do, I got no business trying to follow out what you got to say. If anything be revealed to the other that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. See, he's struggling because everybody got something to do. Everybody got something to say. And the spirits, and I close with this, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. You are always in charge of what you do. Many times, you can speak in tongues or not speak in tongues. You can shut your mouth up or not shut your mouth up. You can yield to the interpretation or not yield to the interpretation. That's what he said. If there's no interpreter, then go on. No one's going to interpret it. Let's go on. Doesn't mean somebody didn't get it and didn't yield to it. The same thing is true with speaking in tongues. The spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Even Jeremiah said, I ain't saying no more. Word of the Lord came unto me. That's all right. I'm not saying it. Word of the Lord came unto Balaam. He said he wanted to say something else for profit, for gain. The spirit that's inside of you is subject to you. It's subject to you. So that many times people think, well, the Lord just speaks out of you with his voice. No, he's going to use your tongue. He's going to use your tongue. He's going to use your voice. He's going to use your mind, and he's going to speak through you. For God is not. He's an author. He is an author. And he's a finisher. But Paul said, he's not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. He's trying to establish peace. And I thank God for peace in the church. Amen. And one reason churches quit testimony services. Do you know why? People edified themselves. I'm glad I'm not like. Instead of giving God the glory. Do you know why you don't hear much tongues interpretation? Two reasons. You don't hear a lot of tongues interpretation. Number one, it got abused. I've been in this 46 years. It got abused. I've seen them scramble to see who's going to be the first one to interpret. Had two, three of them going one time. And as a kid, I'm like, that ain't right. It's not that it's not real. It's not that it can't be done and can't be done effective. But carnality gets in the way. And pride gets in the way. And what happened too was a lot of times, one guy told me this. I know I'm going a little bit long, but one guy told me one time, he said, he called me a Jesus jumper. And he didn't, he thought about what he said, and he got real embarrassed. He said, you ain't mad at me, man. I said, no, man, I laughed. I said, I was a Jesus jumper when Jesus jumping wasn't cool. I was a tongue talker for tongue talking when it wasn't cool. I was living like this, raising my hands when other people wouldn't do it. And I've been doing it all my life. And now all the churches around the corner, they all want to speak in tongues. They all want to jump. They all want to run. Of every denomination. Wait a minute. You're the same group that used to criticize me. And so what happened when they started, we stopped. Why? We didn't want to be classed with them. Because when the charismatic movement come, boy, everybody had a ministry. Everybody had a tongue. I mean, one lady told me, and I think my mother heard her say that, somebody pushed her boy down on his bicycle. She said, I just started speaking in tongues at him. I'd like to know what she was saying. Well, maybe I don't. And so when things get abused, what happens is many times the real thing starts backing up. And it really shouldn't, but it does. And so tonight as you stand, hope I've helped you. Everything in the church needs to be done with meaning and with purpose. So Paul instructs us not to forbid to speak in tongues, but don't abuse speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. There's many times I pray with people up here and, Lord, it'd be easy just to... And sometimes I'll say a few words, you know, but I usually catch myself. Not because I don't want to, but because it's unprofitable. I mean, I could sit here and pray with people and just start speaking in tongues. Just, that's not profitable. What's profitable is me telling them in their ear, God will forgive you of your sins. You just hang in there. That's profitable. Way more profitable than just... So I love to speak in tongues at the right place. And at the right time. Thank the Lord. I hope I helped you with something tonight.